Hi, thanks for being here, and thanks to the environment section. As an occupational health person, I welcome the opportunity for that cross-fertilization. I've stolen the title from Ken Rosenman, clean as a whistle, but what about that wheeze? One of the things I wanted to talk about is the whole idea of the canary in the coal mine. Before there were monitoring equipment, coal miners used to bring a canary down into the coal mine. And the idea was if the air got really bad, the canary was in trouble, and then the miners knew to get out. And they said that the canaries were better than mice because the canaries would kind of sway a little before they fell over. Well, one of the things that happens is workers, and what happens to workers in the workplace, sometimes are the canaries for everyone else. So not only do we care about what happens to workers themselves, but also because sometimes it's that early warning for other people at risk. So what I want to talk about a little bit is work-related asthma. What we call work-related asthma is asthma that's either caused or made worse by work. And the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, which is in the CDC, funds 4 states to conduct surveillance on work-related asthma. Well, one of the things that we did when the 4 states put their data together is we looked at our data from 1993 to 1997. This goes back a ways. And we found that among all of the cases that we looked at, these are individual people who developed asthma on the job, or their asthma was made worse on the job. And when we looked at those cases, we found that 12% of them were reporting cleaning products as the exposure that either caused or exacerbated their asthma. So we said, all right. Well, then we said, well, let's look at healthcare workers. And when we looked at healthcare workers, same data, 1993 to 1997, we found that cleaning products was the most frequently reported exposure of concern. Well, asthma is a big deal in the United States, and it's a big deal in Massachusetts. This is data from 2000 to 2007. The pink line is the United States. The blue line is Massachusetts. And you can see that from 2000 to 2007, adults with asthma, this is not children, this is adults, the number of people with asthma has been going up. And Massachusetts is worse than the United States as a whole. So, all right, so now we know asthma is out there. It affects a lot of people. In fact, in Massachusetts, we estimate from this 2007 date about 750,000 adults with asthma. Well, so then we started looking at, well, where else might people who work get asthma? And we started looking at people who work in educational services, teachers, custodians, guidance counselors. And we found that here again, despite all the dust and mold and other infrastructure problems, we were seeing cleaning products as the second most frequently reported exposure of concern. Well, so we took the data forward. Now we're going all the way up to 2008. This is just Massachusetts. And if you ask people, and I've given talks, what kind of workers do you think develop asthma? They say, oh, construction workers, miners. But in fact, in Massachusetts, in services, healthcare and education, is where we see over half of our cases. All right, so now we know from individual cases, we know people develop asthma on the job in services. All right, well, there's still 750,000 adults out there. How big a deal is this? We're only talking about tens of cases that we actually get to interview people. So when we do the behavioral risk factor surveillance system, this is a random digit dial telephone survey, and we ask people with current asthma, adults with current asthma, has your asthma ever been caused or made worse by something in a job you've worked in? 40% of the people say yes. All right, so we already know people working in services are at some risk. We already know cleaning products are one of the contributors. Now we know that there's tens of thousands of people out there who might also be affected. All right, so now we know this. We say, well, does this match the literature? Does this match what we know from research in other countries, other places? And look at this. I have 3 slides I'll go through fast. This first one, was domestic cleaners in several European countries. They were developing respiratory problems from cleaning. This next one is from Brazil, non-domestic cleaners. This one is Finland, where cleaners were at greater risk for asthma than administrators. All right, this one was a survey of 26 papers where cleaning showed up as a cause of respiratory health problems. This was a review of 30 papers. Once again, people who work in cleaning were developing asthma and other respiratory ailments. This one's even more recent. These were among over 3,000 healthcare professionals. And once again, they found sterilants and cleaning products were among the most important exposures causing asthma. All right. Now, when you start looking at how about, what other effects might this have? Now you're seeing that when household cleaning products are used, the children born to the people who use those cleaning products are developing asthma. You're seeing some not only respiratory problems, but birth defects among children born to families that report a lot of spray cleaning products. This last one, I haven't even read, haven't even read the whole study, but this is fetal and early postnatal life roots of asthma. This is actually a study that was comparing cleaning products to environmental tobacco smoke, both being equally strong predictors of breathing problems in the children born. And I found some other current studies that are just coming out too. Prenatal and postnatal use of cleaning products associated with asthma in the children born to the folks who are exposed. All right, so what is this? We know cleaning products are causing problems. What is it? What is it about cleaning products? Is it all of them? So when you start to try and learn how do cleaning products work, you know, you have to have something that will actually surround dirt, lift it up, and carry it away. All right, so what kind of chemicals do you need to do that? You need surfactants. And then cleaning products have these other categories of chemicals that might also be included. When you look at what those chemicals are, you see a whole variety of things: acids, ammonia, bleach, aldehydes, glycol ethers, terpenes, some of these looking natural. These are some antimicrobial. These are all in our cleaning products. Clean. Clean is good, but it's got all of these hazardous products. So, well, you know, when you start saying, well, how do we learn more about it? And how do we empower people to understand what's in those cleaning products that we thought were good for us? You look at the material safety data sheet. Well, the problem is when you look at some really common ones, this is just Tide liquid, you find, in fact, that material safety data sheets were supposed to tell us what's in the product, sometimes don't. This top circle that shows, it says, you know, biodegradable surfactants and enzymes, and they don't list them because they don't make up more than 1% of the ingredient. And again, this is a really common product, right? And you see here, 2-amino ethanol, that's one of those chemicals that we think causes asthma in our cleaning product. And then, just to let you know that the material safety data sheet doesn't tell you everything, it's that same data sheet for all these different fragrances. So, all right, there's some other things in there that they're not telling us about. And in the meantime, as these cleaning products are being developed and used and promulgated, they're adding more and more antimicrobial products to our cleaning products. And they're saying, well, that's good. Well, now you're finding 700 products available, and you're finding antimicrobials in everything from window cleaners to mattresses to chopsticks. Think about this, an antimicrobial on your windows.
Why?
Why? And as these chemicals are being added to our cleaning products, we're finding that they're having some effects down the road too. Some of those antimicrobials are killing protective microflora. They're promoting resistant bacteria. And now you're starting to see some cross-resistance to antibiotics. There's even one study that's showing that community-acquired MRSA, meth-resistant Staph aureus is associated with antibacterials. And not only that, but we have failed to see any really conclusive evidence that antimicrobials help health. All right. So here are some of the antimicrobial products that you see in common cleaning products, everything from bleach to chlorhexidine. And again, some of these cause asthma. And then what's happening is some of the companies that manufacture these products are promoting their use. So this was something I found on a Clorox website. Remind moms and dads to donate Clorox disinfecting wipes to the classroom, but make sure parents bring it in themselves. Kids should not be carrying them. Where do you think those are going to be used? You know, I think they're bringing in those quaternary ammonium compound containing Clorox wipes to use on desks. Now, this is the CDC's guidance. This is goes back, it's a little bit old, 2005. And what this says, if you want to routinely maintain a clean environment, is, and I know you probably can't read this, clean and disinfect counters and other surfaces before, during, and after food preparation. Before, during, and after food. And in fact, some of that has been updated. I have to show you. It looks a little bit better. It's nice and new. But it still says routinely clean and disinfect. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is CDC, and it's co-sponsored by Lysol. Now, if an oil company said, change your oil every week, it's good for your car, you'd be suspicious. But if a company that manufactures cleaning products tells you, clean and disinfect routinely, we sometimes forget to have that same suspicion. And this is the most current flu message from CDC, FDA, I can't even tell you all the agencies up there. Simply do routine cleaning and disinfecting. And this is one of my favorite ads. Just because it looks clean doesn't mean that the germs are gone. This is startling news about your underwear. Beware of your dirty underwear. Just touching it can make you sick. Now, this is serious research that was done by Dr. Charles Gerba. He's a famous microbiologist. He often does studies like this. They call him Dr. Germ. Oh, by the way, here's the real shocker. Your clean underwear isn't much better. The germs are everywhere. This is the latest. I just saw this on a website. This is reducing the spread of germs in schools. And I mean, this is something we all care about for people who have kids in schools, H1N1, flu season. And this shows the top three contaminated sites in schools, the cafeteria table, the computer mouse, the desk. Oh, by the way, this was written by Dr. Gerba, Dr. Charles Gerba, Dr. Germ, oh, and sponsored by Clorox. All right. So this is one of my favorite cartoons. $100 for speeding and $250 for misleading the public. So, I mean, can we do something about this? And as an industrial hygienist, you know, I think we can make cleaning products better. You know, I once asked a question of someone, you know, aren't you worried about the chemical hazards in cleaning products? And he said, what are you, against cleaning? And some people might say I am. But what I really care about is, how can we promote thoughtful and safe cleaning practices and develop good cleaning products? And one of the ways that I think we can do this is to eliminate the most hazardous ingredients. We do have to study cleaning products. We have to know which of those ingredients can cause asthma and can cause other health problems. One of the ways to do this is to rely on third-party certified cleaners. And I know you'll get to hear from Cheryl later about Green Seal, and Green Seal and Ecologo have been doing very well on this. Another step we can take is only use disinfectants when necessary. Keep skeptical. Simply routine clean and disinfect is not what we want to do. We want to really think about when and where do we need those pesticides. Disinfectants are pesticides, and we want to use them thoughtfully and only where necessary. I want people to be really aware of work-related asthma and the links to cleaning products, because those workers who are affected are our protectors in a number of other places. And look for ways to reduce exposures to these hazardous products. And we can do that. Obviously, it takes education as well as appropriate. So here's my final cartoon. Son, don't worry about that pesky computer virus anymore. I've got your computer soaking in a bucket of disinfectant. And with that, I thank you.